This morning we're going to look at this powerful testimony and how Jesus presented himself to this woman. We can find a revelation and a deeper understanding of how we present the gospel. And that's what we've been talking about, right? Sharing the gospel everywhere we're at. And that's exactly what Jesus did. If you need a message outline, you can raise your hand and the ushers will give you one. The story is found in John 4, 1 through 42. Does anyone else need one? All right. And it's actually Jesus' model of evangelism. So let's pray as we get started looking at this. Father, thank you for the revelation that's in your word. Thank you that you came to earth and you modeled an example for us. Lord, we want to be good stewards of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So Lord, as we look at this, you know what each one of us need to know, what we need to understand. And so God, we just ask you, Father, to impart to us, to release to us what we need today. And Lord, our hearts are open, Lord, for you to speak to us and teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, help us to be skilled in your word. Get it from our head to our heart. Bring it on down. That's our prayer. Okay, so this is Jesus' model for evangelism. Number one, we see that he started evangelizing right where he was at. Let's read this in John 4, 3 through 5. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being worried from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So when Jesus went to the well, he was tired, he needed a drink, and he sat down. And so you could kind of liken that to us going into a restaurant to get something to eat. We need something to drink, right? Usually we're ordering something that we like to drink. And so have you ever thought about sharing the gospel with your waitress or your waiter while you're out to eat? Jesus sat down at the well, thirsty. Someone came to draw water, and that was his opportunity to look for a way to speak into this person's life. Okay, so point number two is, think about yourself lower than them. You know, often when we go into a place and we sit down, we expect to be waited on. And you know, really, we can go in with a bad attitude.
Right.
Has anyone ever gone into the... No, you don't have to raise your hand. Although some people waved at me. Yes, we have, you know. It's all about me when I get in the restaurant. But let's just reverse that. And let's just take into consideration the person that's waiting on you. Anybody in here ever did waitressing? Yeah, look at that. So isn't it wonderful when somebody's thinking about you? And that's what he did. He went in, he sat down, and he placed himself lower than her. Let's read this, John 4, 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Oh, yeah, okay. Keep reading. All of us need living water. Amen. We all need living water. I heard a minister say once, we are only beggars telling other beggars that we have found bread. And so Jesus, basically, he wanted to share with her that he was the living water. But he started that conversation by asking her for a natural drink of water. And then it just began to lead into other things. And Jesus probably sensed that she was uncomfortable. She was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a mixed race. And the Jews were not allowed to talk to them, fellowship with them, eat with them, drink with them. They had to stay totally separated from them. And she probably perceived that Jesus was a Jew by the way that he looked. And she was shocked. You know, what is this guy doing talking to me at the well? She might have been concerned because of her past life, of what he was going to say to her. Not because of that she was afraid that he would make an advance at her or something. But maybe he was going to ridicule her a little bit. We heard in the story how everyone loved to remember her past. Did you hear that?
Man.
And the pain of that. We all know how painful that is. When somebody identifies you and remembers you by your past. Basically to condemn you and put you down. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, come on, we all have. People like to remind you of that and keep pushing you down. But you see, in this example of Jesus, he's not doing that at all. He's just putting himself lower and asking if she would give him a drink of water. And so, let's look at the next point. Speak to the needs of their heart. Let's read the scripture. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." And so Jesus spoke to her immediate interest, which was gathering water, right? It's always good to pay attention to find out what the person is interested in. We all like it when somebody is interested in what we're interested in, right? When people are listening, that brings you value. So see, he's talking to her heart. He's talking to her soul. He's putting some value there by being interested in what she's interested in. And then the next thing that I think is so interesting, let's read the passage, John 4:16-18. Okay. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." So when most of us read this passage, we can get really hung up on, wow, this woman had 5 husbands. And the man she's living with now is not her husband. You know, and we get stuck there.
Yeah.
We can get stuck there because of the way that we think. But Jesus did not bring that up because he wanted to condemn her. He brought that up because he knew she was lonely.
Yeah.
This woman was lonely. Come on, she tried 5 husbands.
Yeah.
And it didn't fill the need that she had in her soul. Because people can't fill that need. You can go from relationship to relationship and it's not going to fill the need that's in your soul. She had a loneliness in her heart and Jesus knew that. And when you get around somebody, you begin to, by the Spirit of God, understand what is going on in their life, which gives you an opportunity to speak to the heart issue. Do you see how Jesus spoke to her? But it was not in a condemning way.
Right.
All of a sudden she realized, this guy knows all about me. I've prophesied to people and they think I know all about them. And you only know what God gives you to know, right? You don't know their entire life. I've had people say, "I'm not coming to your church because you'll read my mail and I don't want you to read it." Well, guess what? I can't read anybody's mail if the Lord doesn't give it to me. And that's just the way it is, you know. Even with the most mature prophets, you don't know everything about somebody. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is to encourage and edify and build you up and draw you closer to Jesus. It isn't to condemn you and let everybody sitting in the room know the sin that you've been in this last week. God does not do that to us. He doesn't do that to us. So Jesus spoke to the need that was in her heart. She was so lonely. She was so lonely. And so speaking to the need that somebody has is so important. Wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. It's an open door to share that God loves them. We were at one of our Love in Action programs, and as the children were at being ministered to, playing games and music going on, all that, parents would come and they would gather around the fence area. And so we would usually go and introduce ourselves and get to know the parents and talk to them and stuff. And the Lord shared with me, he said, go over to that woman and ask her about her intestinal problem. I'm like, okay. That's kind of personal. I don't even know her. So anyway, we went over and I started talking to her, and we just found out whose kids were hers and stuff and got to talking. And I said, have you been having some problems with your digestive system, your intestines? And she goes, how do you know that? And I said, the Lord shared with me. Because God's concerned about that. And he wants you to know that. And so we had some talking, and I said, do you mind if I pray for you? No, I don't mind. So prayed with her. And the next week, at our next program, she come run up to me and she said, the problems are all gone. God healed me. Isn't that wonderful? So it's meeting someone right where they're at with the need that they have. Sometimes it's a physical need. Sometimes it's a need in our soul. Yeah. And our souls can get really hurt and damaged. Is that right? Yeah. Our mind, our will, our emotions. We can feel really beat up when we get in here on Sunday morning. We come through a rough week. Have a lot of people to work with, a lot of problems to deal with. Holly's laughing. There's always a lot going on every day, right?
Right.
And I always say, Lord, you said you wouldn't put more on me than I could bear, but really?
Yeah.
But we can get very wounded in our hearts and our souls. And we meet people everywhere. And that's why they act out the way that they act out, because they're hurt. You know, hurt people hurt people.
Right.
You know, if everything was okay, people wouldn't be acting the way they're acting.
Right.
Sometimes it's just the last straw.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one more thing. You tick them off, and they let you have it. And you're like, wow. All I did was reach in front of you. I'm sorry, you know. So the Lord spoke right to where they were at. And that's something that as the body of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, we can become really good at, is not to join in with that negative energy that they're throwing at you. I'm telling you, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. It's bait.
Yeah.
It is bait.
That's right.
Satan will bait us every day.
Amen.
And he'll try to get us to connect with what is negative or what is destructive, and get you just to join in there.
Right.
And so let's be wise with that, because actually that person is crying out for help.
Yeah.
They need help. If we can just step back like Jesus did with the woman at the well and see what the need is in their life. Can I help you with something? You know, what happened to you? What's going on? You know, and instead of taking our ground, because we like to stand our ground and tell them how it should be, tell them how we think they should be feeling, how we think they should be acting in this situation, but they have a need. So we can get good at that. You can get good at that. Some of you are looking really perplexed, like, oh God, I don't know if I could ever do that. But God can help you do that, especially if that is a person that is in your sphere of influence that you are called to minister to and to share God's word with. God will stir up the gifts that are within you.
Yes.
Is Jesus Christ in you?
Yes.
All right, if Jesus is in you, then you have everything that you need to talk to that person.
Yes.
Amen. And you've just got to press through all of the resistance,
yes,
all of the barriers. You've got to press through those.
That's right.
And become like Jesus. He became lower.
Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about this woman and what she needed. How lonely she was. That she had been through 5 relationships. Come on, that would be tough. There are people sitting here that maybe has been through 1 divorce, 2 divorces, but think about 5 of them. What a struggle that is. Divorce is like a death. And it just tears people's lives apart. And that's why God hates divorce. So you can just imagine how this woman was feeling when she met Jesus. When she met Jesus. But Jesus shared with her the good news of the gospel. Let's read our last scriptures. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Can you imagine? He was sitting right there. And that's what it's like when we share the good news of the gospel. God loves you. He sent his son for you. He gave his life for you. You were worth dying for. You know, people may have abused you, used you, but God loves you and God wants you. That's good news. You know, we are all wired for love. Every one of us are wired for love. We're made in the image of God, and God is love. And God is a spirit. He shared with the woman at the well, there's a time coming when you will worship me in spirit and in truth. You don't have to be in the temple. You don't have to be on a mountain. You don't have to be someplace special, but you can worship me every day in every way as you go throughout your day. Your life is a testimony of who I am.
Yes.
Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What goes on inside a temple?
Worship.
Worship should be going on the inside of us. An aroma of worship. And I'm telling you, that aroma of worship and taking the light of Jesus Christ into your office, into your factory, into the grocery store, can stir up all kinds of demons. Just because you're carrying that doesn't mean that when you get into your workplace, everybody's going to love that. No, that light is going to just start to stir up people.
Yeah.
And you're going to see them act out. But you just got to know that you know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. It's because of what's in you that is causing things in the spirit to begin to stir. Remember, we are spirits. God is a spirit. We are spirits. We have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion, and we live in a body. And someday this body will be changed. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll have a new body.
Right.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No more aches and pains. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Wait.
No more. Won't gain weight. You can eat all that manna.
Yeah.
God's going to have a huge wedding feast all ready for us. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Mm.
So we have everything that we need to share the gospel. We just need God to quicken us, awaken us, and stir up those gifts that are within us.
Amen.
Because because even when things begin to stir in the office or in the factory or wherever you're at, and I have been walking in the grocery store and I've seen demons just whip around and look at me. Mm-hmm. Anybody else ever had that experience? It used to happen all the time downtown. If I'm walking on the plaza and somebody come by, that no human can whip their neck that fast. Honestly. You got to begin to recognize there are demonic spirits that are warring against us.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to talk about that. And I get different clients in from different churches that will come in, and I begin to share with them a little bit about the dark realm and the spirit of darkness and kingdom of darkness, and they're like looking at me cross-eyed like, what? A lot of people believe in God.
Amen.
And that God is love, but for some reason they don't believe in the kingdom of darkness and the hordes of hell that are working against us. But they're there. But God has given us all authority over them. He's already defeated the devil. We're not afraid of it. We're not afraid of it. But God has given us what we need, the tools that we need to be able to be instruments that he can use.
Yes, thank you.
We're his instruments.
Yes.
You know, the scripture says he's the great physician.
Mm-hmm.
Physicians always have instruments that they use, right?
Yes.
Right? And so we are those instruments. God uses us in those ways. And we want to be aware of how to share with each person that comes along. You know, when we first started the church, we had a group of people working with us, and they wanted us to write out an outline so that they could follow it, you know, point by point for each person that came through the door. Well, we can have a general outline,
right. But
when we went to the Lord in prayer, the Lord says, well, I have a plan for every person that comes through the door.
Amen.
And you're going to have to seek me
right. For
that plan.
Right.
See, we just want it easy. Just give me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give me the steps, you know. With a Western culture, just give me the steps. Put it in order. How many of you know that sometimes God will do 1 and then he'll do 10? He will switch it up. Yes, he will. He will turn things around. He'll make them go upside down. And you're just like, what? Okay. You got to learn to go with the flow.
Right.
For people with OCD, you have a hard time with that, I know. But God will deliver you. He will help you out. Because when it comes to ministry, God's in charge. Holy Spirit is the lead. You know, we're just following behind Holy Spirit as he shows us what to do. And he will. He will. We just have to be brave enough to take that step. Yeah, because when you don't do what he's asking you to do, when you get home, you feel terrible.
Right.
Anybody ever been through that? It's like, oh man, I should have taken advantage of that opportunity. So Lord, forgive me. Give me another one.
That's right.
Give me another one. He doesn't give up on us. We know he doesn't, because he called Jonah. Didn't he give him 3 tries? Jonah, he kept after Jonah. Jonah ran, but he kept calling him. Jonah got swallowed by the whale, but God delivered him. Jonah threw a fit because all the people repented in Nineveh. I think he wanted them to die, don't you? I think he thought they deserved to just die. He was probably surprised they believed the message. Sometimes we're surprised when people believe the message. It's like, really? You want to? Wow. You know? We just kind of get this attitude that people are going to say no. And we just need to come into those situations as we're presenting Jesus Christ, the lover of our soul. He loves us more than we can even imagine. And we present him. And whatever they decide, they decide. That's not on us. Right? That's not on you. What's on you is to share, and then Jesus does the rest of the work. Because he loves. He loves that person. And so, just an example. I thought of this story last week. Let's read our last scripture, 4:39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So we have a powerful testimony to share, and when we share that, people hear those words, come to Jesus, and once they have that experience with Jesus, they know that they know he is real. He really loves them. And it's all about him. We are simply the instruments that he uses to bring people into the kingdom of God. And then God takes care of them. We pray for them. We help them when we can help them. But ultimately, it is God's word and God's counsel and that personal relationship that they need. Our greatest desire is that everyone that attends River of Life Community Church has a personal relationship and knows the voice of the Lord. That you hear the voice of the Lord. That you're students in the Word. The Scripture says, study to show yourself approved of God. A workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. God wants you to study His Word. I love to study His word. What's inside of me, I can't just by osmosis put it in you. You've got to do that. We are, each one of us, come to the Lord. Each one of us need to hear His voice. In August, on Wednesday night, on August 22nd, we're going to start a series on hearing the voice of God. And we're going to teach that through the end of September. And I encourage you, if you can get out on Wednesday night, get out on Wednesday night to learn how to hear the voice of God. And we're going to do some activations and activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are within you. This is a time that God is stirring up the supernatural to another level. When Bishop ordained us in 1996, he said our calling card is the supernatural. And God has moved in the supernatural from the time we started our outreaches. God has moved in a miraculous way to heal people, to deliver them, and to set them free. And God is stirring up the saints because he's raising up an army of people who know how to move in the supernatural. It's not just the ministers. It's not just the elders. It is everyone. Tell somebody close to you, he's talking to you. He's talking to you, and it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It is the same Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the same Spirit that is on the inside of us. I'll never forget one Friday night we were doing activations, and we were praying for words of knowledge for a man. And our grandson came up, and he was maybe 8 years old, and he said, "I keep hearing the word beer." And we're like, "Oh, great." Well, you know, some things you can prophesy and exhort on, but other things it's just like, "Oh, okay, thanks, Brock." You know, get the kid out of here. You know, you're just like. But you know what we found out 2 weeks later? The man was an alcoholic. None of us, nobody picked that up but an 8-year-old child. And he didn't know how to explain it. He just said, "I just keep hearing the word beer." So you see, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, God will use you. It's just as you mature in God, you know a little bit more how to present what you're hearing, right? And you grow in that. And so I encourage you, if you can, get out on Wednesday nights for that teaching. And Pastor George Bostick is going to be with us. He is a minister in this area. And we're excited about teaching on hearing the voice of God. Amen? Amen. So I hope this helped you today. Read the story again. The Lord's liable to show you things that I didn't see. But we see Jesus evangelizing this woman at the well. And then we see her going into town and sharing her testimony. And then people want to meet Jesus. And they get with him. And it's like, wow. Yeah, you are the Savior of the world. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for the teaching of your word today. Lord, we thank you that you continue to water it, seed it deep inside of our hearts, and continue to show us, Heavenly Father, continue to show us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.